There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Another of the stories that's doing the round is that with regards to Serena Williams. Now, anyone that follows tennis, but equally anyone that follows the news over the last few days will know that she was involved in a very angry tirade with the chair umpire in the final of the women's event, the women's final over at the US Open on Saturday night. Her claims that the chair umpire, the Portuguese chair umpire, was sexist, but also a thief in not just docking her a point, but also docking her a game for violations when she accused him, have made headlines the world over. This is not a story that's going to go away. Why? Because Serena Williams, the former world number one's claims of sexism, have now been backed by the governing body for the women's game worldwide. Her claims in the US Open final have been backed by the governing body of women's tennis. WTA chief executive Steve Simon said the umpire showed Williams a different level of tolerance of Saturday's outbursts than if she had been a man. She got a code violation for coaching, a penalty point for racket abuse, and a game penalty for calling the umpire a thief in her loss to Naomi Osaka, the young Japanese player who became the first Japanese Grand Slam winner in history. The American said it was sexist to have been penalised again. The WTA believes that there should be no difference in the standards of tolerance provided to the emotions expressed by men versus women. That's according to a statement from Simon and the WTA. We do not believe that this was done last night. So the WTA now launching its support behind Serena Williams. One can only assume, Joe McKibben, that this is a story that's going to run and run because it's very divisive with regards to those that support Serena for standing up for what she thought was right and those that just thought it was not in the spirit of the game of tennis for her to behave as she did.
Now, I'm no expert on tennis and umpiring, and she has the right to speak her mind. Serena is arguably the greatest female tennis player of the last 20 years. Sure. And she felt that he was being harder on her than he would be on a male tennis player in the same league. So she has the right to speak her mind, and she did. For me, what I find really sad about this is that it's Naomi Osaka's brilliant that is being overshadowed by Serena and her ranting. And we all know about John McEnroe rants. Well, I can remember that way back when. But they do tend to lose their temper. It's high pressure. I feel sorry, but you and I had this conversation yesterday about I tend to sympathise with the umpires and the refs across all these big sporting events, and you don't. And I kind of had an inner dialogue with myself thinking, oh, it's just the difference between Tom and I, whereas I respect authority.
No. I think that there's always that respect of authority. I suppose I was just looking at it from the emotions of the moment and the pressure that she was under. For my part, and this is not me jumping off the fence that I was on yesterday, but I think she overstepped the mark in a couple of ways. You know, reasons when she started accusing the umpire and saying, you will never officiate in another game, you'll never be on another court that I am on. That's when you're taking your petard, your status to a different, you're taking advantage of your standing, your ranking to pull rank, if you like, on an umpire who is fundamentally the authority on the court. When you get onto that court, they are there to maintain the laws and the standards of the game. So I think she pushed those on that sense. When it comes to the history and whether this man has treated men more leniently over women, again, that comes down to a personal opinion. Do you therefore vent that personal opinion in the manner in which she did? I think she probably overstepped the mark. I still think there is room in any sport, in any game, to question authority, to come up to the referee and question a decision.
Yes, but you need to know when to stop. Yeah, you have to do it in the right way, and you have to know when to stop. And you also, it's really unfortunate that she said, you will never play on one of my courts again, and that's just me paraphrasing, because unfortunately then it just turns the whole argument again. Like you said, it makes her sound incredibly arrogant when actually, but then, you know, it's the heat of the moment.
I don't know if you can make excuses for her. But listen, that's just Joe and I's thoughts here in the studio. So the WTA have come out in the last few hours and supported Serena Williams' claims against her match umpire. They have thrown their support behind her. Is that a clever move? Your thoughts and reactions to this extraordinary story? It was one of the most bizarre matches of all time, with the rants, with the boos, with the tears, with the crying. It was just extraordinary. But how do you react to it? Do you think that Serena Williams is in the right or the wrong? Is there a place to question authority with regards to umpires and referees, as long as it's done in the right manner? What examples can you take from other sports and other industries around the world? One of the big stories locally is, of course, the comments that have been made overnight. Al Habtour Group Chairman Khalaf Al Habtour, who's one of the most influential businessmen here in the region, is urging the UAE's mobile carriers to end their ban on WhatsApp calls, saying that he believes the ban contributes to the country lagging behind the rest of the world in terms of communication. It was picked up by the Business Breakfast. It's being investigated further by the ARN news team. It's just to remind ourselves of a few of the comments that Mr. Al Habtour made.
A lot of people using WhatsApp calls everywhere in the world are free. All over the world, except in my country, telephone companies and communication companies, they are blocking it and not allowing it. Therefore, I would like to request the management of these companies to release and to free this system.
These comments have been picked up by all the major newspapers, all the major media organisations here, none more so than the ARN news team and news centre. Natasha Thomas is the news desk editor. She joins us live in the studio. This is a story that is gathering momentum at the moment, Tash.
It is indeed, because Khalaf Al Habtour, as you mentioned there, is a prominent businessman in the UAE, and he's got clear opinions there about why the ban should be lifted. If the UAE needs to progress, it needs to be in line with other countries around the world. It reminded me actually of another prominent Emirati, this one a blogger, Khaled Al Amiri. I'm not sure if you follow him social media. He had also posted a video pretty much right after the ban was announced, criticizing the move again. And that again had picked up a lot of traction in the media. A lot of people had posted that video and kind of reiterated the fact that there needs to be some sort of initiative taken to lift this particular ban, because at the end of the day, Skype is used by across the board, not just by expats, but also by Emiratis.
Mm. Habib Al-Mulla, the founder and chairman of the Baker McKenzie Habib Al-Mulla law firm here in the region, also commented about this earlier on this year, tweeting he believes that the monopolistic attitudes of the telecom companies are hindering Dubai's goals of becoming a highly interconnected smart city. Interesting that Mr. Al Habtour was talking about WhatsApp calls. Any further information as to whether this goes as far as Skype as well? Because that's a conversation that was being had only last week.
Yes, I think he was basically implying that these communication lines are open across the world, and therefore it brings Skype under the ambit as well. But just to clarify, you know, the regulations here are very clear. Mm. The UAE's Telecommunications Regulatory Authority has said that voice over internet protocol applications such as WhatsApp calling and Skype must comply with the regulation framework of the country. The TRA has said that the operation of these services is the prerogative of licensed telecommunication providers. So it says that such companies that are wishing to offer such services must coordinate with the licensed telecom providers in the country. And we know there have been talks behind the scenes between these major companies which are based abroad with the TRA to figure out how they can work out a system where it can be reintroduced in the UAE.
And that said as well, we know that both Du and Natislat have offered SeeMe and Botim VoIP services out there. That's all they offer at the moment because of the fact that WhatsApp and Skype are unauthorised. But interesting to see the reaction from Du, Natislat, the TRA as well, to these comments from a man who is very influential here in the region with his opinions. And I'm sure this is one of the stories that you and the rest of the team will be following up on throughout the rest of the day.
Absolutely.
Tasha, thanks so much indeed for popping in and sharing the latest with us on this one. End the UAE ban on WhatsApp calls, says Khalaf Al-Habtour. He's urged the authorities to end what he sees as an outdated practice. Is it something that you agree with? If so, we'd love your thoughts. Tim Clark also coming out today, the Emirates president, saying that the cause of Emirates flight illness into the United States still remains unknown. He believes the airline had no similar instance in its entire 33-year history to date. So Tim Clark giving his thoughts on that one. And staying with airlines, interesting little survey this one. I think we've all been a victim of this in one way or another. About 1.3 million passengers were left stuck in airports because of severe delays in the last 12 months. This, according to a study of flight data, which has analysed flights in and out of the UK from June 2017 to June of this year, and found that more than 13,000 were delayed by three or more hours. It means that 3,500 passengers face delays basically every day. They've gone further. They have put the top offending airlines by percentage onto a list as the worst performers by number. Now, I do appreciate that this is in and out of the United Kingdom, and maybe you've been transiting through or from there at some point this year. Maybe you've been travelling to there. The worst airlines for long-haul delays in and out of the UK in the last calendar year. Any idea as to where that would, where that rather suspicious title would go this year?
Oh, no. I was thinking short-haul, you see, because it's always the short-haul ones that get delayed. And I'm thinking here regionally, as in if you were popping across to Saudi or Riyadh, you could be delayed a little bit, or maybe not. No, I've got no idea.
Short-hauls, I can tell you, into and out of the UK, Icelandair, Orany and TUI. Medium-haul delays, worst was Thomas Cook, then 2UI came after that. So those are the ones that got mentioned there. As to the long-haul delays, starting from the bottom of the list, at number 10, it was Cathay Pacific, then came Delta Airways, then American, then United. So the American airline's not doing too well. BA was in the top of the list as well. Air Canada, Air India, and then your top three, TUI, Thomas Cook and Norwegian. So they might have great fares, Norwegian, but they come out as one of the worst offenders when it comes to delays.
But the Thomas Cook and the TUI, they're kind of holiday charter holiday.
Correct. Yeah. So, yeah. So they're just delaying your holiday, basically.
Yeah. Well, they may be extending it, maybe making it a bit longer at your airport in Kuala Lumpur.
So those, that was the list that came out in the last couple of hours. So that one, of course, will be doing the rounds here in the UAE. Thanks to you for highlighting other stories. Thank you to whoever sent this one in. Interesting story that's come out of The National here this morning. It was sent in by one of our listeners a little earlier on, asking if it's a subject that maybe we could follow up on here on the agenda. Because I thought things like this were of years gone by, of a bygone era, but sadly it would appear not. A nursery group has come under fire for posting a job advert looking for English teachers of European origin and white skin. That was the quote used in the job advert here in the UAE. The nursery, which I won't mention, but has been mentioned in the actual articles published in the newspaper, which operates several locations across the UAE, posted the advert on Jobs in the UAE by Facebook page over the weekend. The advert, which also calls for candidates to hold a Bachelor of Education degree and be fluent in English, has since been removed from the Facebook page. Principal at one of the branches said the advert was posted for the purposes of diversity. She didn't understand why some people had an issue with it. Again, potential story that could continue to develop over the remainder of the day, and one that we could, of course, look at in more detail on the agenda tomorrow or later on in the week. Again, surely there is no place for this in this day and age.
How not to advertise for a job on social media.
101, isn't it? thanks to whoever sent that one in. Really appreciate that one. We've also been following up, as you heard a little earlier on from Natasha, with regards to one of the big stories of the day, which was Mr. Khalaf Al-Habtour urging the UAE mobile carriers to end their ban on WhatsApp calls. He gave good reasons as well.
Always we in my country, United Arab Emirates, we aim to be number one in everything. We have to be parallel to our requirement and to our aim to be number one. our leaders and us, we need to be number one. Therefore, I request you, please, to release this to everybody in the United Arab Emirates, everywhere. Thank you very much.
Those were the comments that he made overnight in a video post on social media. Now, it's been a show debating school fees. Do you get what you pay for, or are they too expensive? Fahad chipped in with his thoughts.
My daughter is really happy at school. She's learning a lot of stuff that I think when I was 5 years old, I had no clue about. So I think it's definitely worth it. And to make it fair, it is 15% of my income that I pay towards her school fees. But she's happy. She's learning a lot. I think it's worth it. But if it was out of my budget, I would probably find another school. And there are lots of schools in Dubai now which are at lower price. And there are some which are at higher price. So I'm really happy with the school.
And we also got the thoughts of Natalie as well. Children born here in the UAE, educated all their lives here.
Extremely happy. My oldest just finished his GCSEs in a British school here and it's done really well. And they've been in that school since they were three, so very happy. And okay, the fees are expensive. I must say, you know, most of salaries are a lot higher anyway than back in Europe. And it's not easy every year, but we managed. And this year we realized that in 2 years' time, he's off to university. And that's a different game altogether, because being here overseas, people forget that you don't get local fees. You don't pay local fees when you go back home in Europe, for my case. You pay overseas fees, and that's a lot more than the fees we pay here for school.
One of our listeners, Natalie, giving us her thoughts on the school's fees debate, which were discussed a little earlier on the show. Also gave you the opportunity to win throughout the morning. We want to send you to the Sheraton Grand Hotel here in Dubai to sample their brunch at Feast, isn't it?
Yes, their Friday brunch for two, including soft drinks at Feast Sheraton Grand Hotel Dubai.
The question we were asking: on which country's streets would you find yourself enjoying street food dishes such as sendal, durian, Assam laksa, nasi lemak, fried bihun, the Ramly burger, rojak as well? Those different answers on this one. A lot of people out there texted in Singapore. Whilst I'm sure you can find some of those dishes on the street hawkers in Singapore, the specific answer we were looking for was, of course, Malaysia. So congratulations to all those that sent in Malaysia. Some of those dishes are specifically Malaysian and come from Malaysia. So Malaysia was the right answer, and the winner is
Stephen Goddard, who I think has actually eaten that food on the streets of Kuala Lumpur, because he added Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Look at that, eh?
Yeah.
We'll be back with another opportunity for you to win tomorrow, so make sure you tune in then. Do stay tuned. You've got a commercial-free hour of music coming your way between 1 and 2 for you to rock out to over the afternoon. And then, of course, Helen Farmer in the afternoon from 2 o'clock this afternoon in the new look, new sound format here on Dubai i103.8. Hope you're enjoying it. Do keep your thoughts and feedback coming in. You can text us now on 4001. Joe McKibben, thank you.
Thank you.
Marcus. Where's he gone? Oh, there he is.
He's dancing.
Thank you very much indeed to Marcus. And thanks to all of you for your thoughts.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.